In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is of great comfort when we hear in Scripture of the Lord's solicitude for the physical needs of those that he encounters, whether it be feeding the multitudes, whether it is healing those in sickness, in body or in spirit, whether it is the removal of evil spirits that plague our young people. The Lord encounters those who come to him, and even at times goes to others who do not seek him, and yet bestows upon them the healing that they desire, curing them of their blindness, of their inability to speak, to hear, to see. And of course, this does bring us comfort precisely because we see then physically manifested that desire that God has to care for his people and the power that he has to actually do that. Of course, it comes to its most perfect expression when the Lord raises those from death to new life, that we too can anticipate that we in some way, small, might then participate in this newness of life that the Lord bestows upon us. If not only that physical reality where death is conquered once and for all, then the spiritual graces that God bestows upon us, setting us free from sin. But it's very easy, brothers and sisters, to fall into then the misconception that somehow this grace that God bestows upon us by healing us of our infirmities, whatever those infirmities may be, is the reason for God's existence in his life, or rather in our lives. God exists to do things for us, to provide things for us, to give us things, whether it be physical healing or emotional healing or to support us in some particular need that we may have. And of course, the Lord tells us to seek and knock, and the answer will be given to us according to his will. So this is not to say that we should not go to the Lord and ask the Lord for those things that we need. But we must guard ourselves from misunderstanding that we exist for him. He does not exist for us. The fact that he deigns to do all these things for us is the largesse and love and mercy of God. He has no need to do these things. He certainly is not required to do these things. What he does for us, he does out of love and compassion for us. That love that he has always desired to show us. And he always has found these perfect ways to physically manifest this for us. In large measure, because we are incarnate, enfleshed beings, and we need to see and touch and hear and experience the living God. He knows of our weaknesses. But we must always see in all the ways that God blesses us that then what is required of us is a disposition of obedience to the things of God. And this is how the world has been sadly turned upside down. Men believe that God exists to do things for them. And when God ceases to do things for them, or doesn't do it in a timely manner, or doesn't give them what they want, they either go on to the next God, or they simply deny the reality of God altogether, or they replace God with something else that gives them what they want. And they feel justified in going forth and saying, God did not give me what I wanted, when I wanted it, how I wanted it, in the way that I wanted it. Therefore, God is not real. God does not exist. God does not care. None of those things are true. God exists. God cares. God desires to be with his people, to reach out to his people, to care for his people. But we, his people, must be obedient to him and understand that when he does bestow these blessings upon us, we cannot be ungrateful and churlish, walking away as if somehow we deserved it, but instead, in all humility, bow down before God in gratitude for the blessings bestowed upon us. You've heard me speak often about all the things that ill the modern world. I probably spend an inordinate amount of time trying to figure out what precisely can we say about the age that has gone wrong so that in that precision we might be able to fix it. I've had different thoughts over the course of 25 years of priesthood, but they all have circled back again and again to an unwillingness of the human person to be governed and an unwillingness to be obedient. We simply don't want to do what we're supposed to do. We're adolescents. We're children. We're spoiled, rotten to the core. And when we don't get what we want, we respond accordingly. Now, that may be fine in our family dynamics. It wasn't in mine. But it may be fine in your family dynamic to behave that way. But in the relationship that we share with God, we are not asked or allowed to be petulant and churlish and dismissive of God. We exist for Him. Our whole existence is permeated with God. We cannot be or do anything great apart from God. And yet, because of our weakness, beset as we are with concupiscence and the stain of original sin, we might for a time be on the narrow road and listen to God, but then when we get what we want, we are back again to believing that somehow we can do this on our own, or when I fall into trouble, I'll ask God, He'll give me what I want, and then I'll go back to doing the things that I want to do. If we want the world to be transformed, and indeed we do, and we are the agents of the transformation of the world, let's be very clear about this. There is no governmental system. There has not been, and nor will there be, as beautiful and as perfect as ours may be, that can truly transform the hearts of men. It is the truth of Christ and Holy Mother Church that brings about authentic transformation. Since we are agents of that, it begins with each of us being obedient to God and doing the things that God asks us to do according to our state in life. Now, it might sound, well, that's overly simplistic, but really, it actually isn't that difficult. Where it becomes difficult is when you war against God. Where it becomes difficult is when you approach God and ask God for things. Your heart is not as this man was to believe. You somehow think you deserve this. I've earned this. I have a right to this. That's good American language. We talk about rights and things that we have and demands that we make. But we are not Americans first. We are Catholics first, last, and always. That is our true identity. And it is in that identity that we move and have our being. And so my exhortation to you is to go forth and to be obedient. And if you need a model, our Blessed Mother, who we celebrate in this month of October, is the one to whom you go. Our Lady is the perfect model of obedience. And what she makes clear in her willingness to do what the angel Gabriel asked of her, God having sent him, is because of the intimate relationship that she shared with our Heavenly Father prior to the message of the angel Gabriel. It is precisely because she spent time praising God, praying with God, being in intimate relationship with God, that when God called upon her, she was able to hear His voice and respond immediately. Our Lady only asks the question that she asks of the angel Gabriel, not because she was confused, but because by tradition, she had already made this perpetual vow of virginity, and she wanted to be able to maintain that which she had already given to God. Once she had that answer, her response is, I am the slave of the Lord. Powerful language, uncomfortable language in this politically correct age to describe ourselves as slaves. But that's precisely how she describes herself. And why? Because of that radical relationship that exists between master and slave. But this is the perfect relationship. Because this master, who has dominion over everything about who we are, has given completely of himself, even to the point of choosing his son's life, or our lives rather, over his son's life, that we might have life abundantly. And so in order to be like Our Lady and to respond to the voice of God in whatever manner God is calling us, and again, don't overcomplicate this. If you are married, be good in your marriage. If you are parents, be good parents. If you are brothers and sisters to each other, be good brothers and sisters. If you are neighbors, you get the point. This isn't anything grandiose. God isn't asking you to sell all of your possessions and live naked in the street as a witness to the truth of Holy Mother Church. He's asking you in your daily lives to be obedient in each and every single moment. And with His grace, we can do this. On our own, we cannot. And so don't think this is something you accomplish through your native talents, by your own strength, through your own industry. Because when you try to do this by yourself, you will fail. I know this to be true because I sit in that confessional week after week. And I know too, when I try to do this by myself, I will fail. But with God, as we know also from the Annunciation, all things are possible. My exhortation last week was to pray your rosary. My exhortation this week is to pray your rosary. Come to know Our Lady. And as you come to know her, you will come to know our Lord even more. That's how that beautiful relationship actually works. Our Lady knows nothing else but our Father, His Son, and the Spirit that overshadowed her. She knows nothing else but to lead us more deeply into relationship with her Son, that she decreases as he might increase in our lives. And of course, the more we take on the life of Christ, the more we put on the new man who is Christ, the better able we are then to do the things that God commands us to do. God wants to heal you. Whatever ails you now, bring that to the Lord in body or in spirit. But also go to the Lord with all of your requests, with a heart full of obedience and a life centered around humility and pliability. And let God then respond and give to you what it is that you actually need. And then thank him for the blessings that he bestows upon you. And like our Blessed Mother, let the fullness of your life and all that you are give God fitting glory and praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.